I frankly am really interested in hearing ultimately from other folks on this committee about strategic planning. Is there some interference there? Am I?
No, we can hear you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I would ultimately really like to have that discussion, just go around and hear from people about strategic planning. But it occurred to me as I was thinking about all this with Pacifica, there's so much talent on the board. And I feel that that's one of the reasons why we wanted to get a feel for the skill sets on the Pacifica board. So that was really interesting to look at the wide range of skills on the board that I think that we're not utilizing like we should probably. But the other thing is that there are so many different committees. So strategic planning can encompass a vast array of things. Certainly finances and fundraising and getting rid of debt and so forth is an important component of any kind of strategic planning. But in Pacifica, we have a lot of things that I think we need to think about in terms of technology and the changes that we're seeing in technology and how we approach that as a network. I think that we need to explore ways that we need to promote the work that we do. I'm hoping through some coordinated effort with the various radio stations and the affiliates on some national programming, perhaps. Anyway, I think some of these things, don't apply just to one committee. I think we have committees that can begin to look at this kind of thing. I would assume that the technical committee would be looking at some of the challenges that we face as a radio network, right? And looking at other avenues for on the internet and other kinds of ways that we can get information out about our programming. And I know, for example, if you all don't know, Ursula, who is the coordinator of the affiliates, is now talking with Sirius to get us. Do you want to speak to that, Summer, what we're doing with that?
Do we want to?
You probably have more information with me on that.
Yeah,
okay,
actually,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Actually,
don't worry about that.
I don't want to talk about it in an open call.
That's fine. We can talk about it later. But in any case, we're exploring different ways that we can be more expansive, apart from just appealing to our radio audience, but being more expansive in that sense. I think the other thing that we've talked quite a bit about is wanting to promote and educate the nation, really, about the importance of community radio and the role that we play. I think Pacifica has not done enough of that, and we're exploring ways to do that through development. But that requires more coordination with all the radio stations as well. We need more email addresses, we need more media contacts and so forth to get information out around the country. So I'm sure I'm talking about too much here, but I think that there are a lot of challenges these days, but I think the coordinators. I'm getting a call, people can hear me. That's just some beginning comments, and I have mentioned some of this in the document that I sent out. I do want to mention that one of the things that George Ryder said to me, if you all had a chance to read what I sent out, that I thought was kind of interesting, that what we raise from, say, Democracy Now! Is not what it was perhaps in the past. And I said, why is that? And George says, because George Bush is no longer in the White House. I think we need to look at these kinds of trends. When the Democrats get in, we're not, the left has not become as paranoid, I think, about things. And that's a challenge that we face. So I think there are a number of questions and issues we need to look at in terms of what's happening in national politics as well, and how we outreach to our audience. I know that I'm just sort of bringing up a lot of various issues here, but to summarize, I think that we have a lot of committees on the Pacifica board that could begin looking at any number of these aspects that would be helpful to give us some direction in the next few years about where we need to go. So I hope that makes sense. I really am frankly interested in hearing other comments from the members on this committee about strategic planning and what they think we should do as well. So and that's it for right now. But I will personally probably be writing up a little bit more about some of this and would appreciate feedback from all of the committee members. Thank you, Summer.
Thank you, Heather. All right, I want to let other people speak, but I think I'm grasping maybe some of what Heather's talking about, which is that perhaps the coordinating committee could additionally coordinate some of the efforts that are going on throughout the network. And it sounds to me almost as if perhaps with strategic planning, I mean, I had a very long, extensive conversation with our tech staff today. Coordinating committee perhaps would be helpful in monitoring and pulling together what's going on with different committees in implementing various parts of strategic planning or coming up with things. So I don't know. Let me hear from other people. I mean, that's part of what I'm hearing from you, Heather, is some of the efforts that are going on and some work together more effectively, and that could be part of what we're coordinating is, like, not just coordinating, you know, a meeting or an agenda, but actually functionally what's happening in the network.
Actually, let me just step in here for a moment. That's precisely what I was thinking, that the coordinating committee would come up with some sort of plan for the board and or the committees that would be presented to the board to vote on, actually, so that we can move forward on this. I know that the coordinating committee can't independently make decisions for what the board's going to do, that it has to present something to the board. But, yes, absolutely, a coordinated effort.
Yeah, and maybe also help pull together those things. You know what I mean? Like, even when one has a strategic plan, you need to, like you said, different committees are handling different aspects of things to pull that all back together, whether it's implementing, reporting on, monitoring, or connecting people together, literally coordinating them. Let me hear from other members. I don't know, Margie or Brenda.
Thank you. Well, I think this is a really important idea, but I have a certain hesitancy about precisely what our role is. It seems to me that perhaps our role is more to frame the discussion rather than to come up with a proposal. And I don't know how other people feel about that. I'm just reading what it says in the bylaws about what our job is, and I think we have to be sort of careful about that. And the other thing is, of course, as Heather said somewhere along the way, as much as, I like making, big shot plans for the future as much as the next guy, but we also, I think, need to deal with the reality of our situation and the question of our finances and where, what we're going to do about the situation that we find ourselves in and where we're going to go forward with that. So keeping in mind the question of finances and keeping in mind, coming to some conclusion about what our role actually is, I think this is a good thing, and we need to obviously – I think every organization needs to engage in strategic planning, and I think probably what's happened here is that we've been, sort of fighting off a disaster one step at a time, and we haven't had the opportunity to have that kind of discussion, and this is probably the time to begin that, considering all of our other responsibilities.
Summer, can I just respond to this for just a moment, and Margie's comments, which I really appreciate, just for
sure,
a second.
Thank you, Margie, and I appreciate what you also had to say, Margie. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just want to mention that regarding, Margie, your comment about looking at the challenges that we face financially, I think that if we're wanting to raise money, and let's say we want to look for various sizable donors and so forth. I think we can't really do that effectively unless we have developed some sort of plan to try to get us out of the situation that
right.
we're in. You know,
right.
I mean, we have to, because people will say, okay, so you have these challenges, well, what are you doing about it? What's your plan?
Mm-hmm.
And that plan is not there. Now, One of the things I really appreciate, though, is that FAT actually was working on their the financial recovery plan, which is really a good thing. But I think we need a broader plan that we could present to funders, to be perfectly frank. Mm-hmm. So it's that that I'm thinking about as well.
Well, I think probably, Heather, that Marty makes a valid point. I don't really think it is the role of the coordinating committee to necessarily come up with that plan. I think we've got to find a way. Our committees are split all over, right? Finance handles a certain portion. Audit handles a certain portion. We have the front handling a good deal of this stuff. We've got development handling part of it. Maybe the coordinating committee could help to figure out how the component parts will fit together effectively so that we're working together and not at cross purposes. Because I do agree. I think we need a broader, more in-depth plan to interest all sorts of people in our viability. We have to deal with occupying the low end of the percentile of the market in every single market. We have to deal with programming. We have to deal with delivery. We have to deal with PR. I mean, there's a whole wide range of things. And I do think that all of that needs to be, it all has to be addressed in order to really show where we're going as an organization. So there's a way for all the different committees to have some role in that, and maybe the coordinating committee can help pull together those parts. Who would like to speak next? Anybody on this?
And we can come back to this. I'd like to say something. Can you hear me?
Okay. And if we don't have to make some kind of concrete decision tonight, we can move on to every of the other things as well. I think this is good and healthy for if we move somewhere on this. Go ahead, Teresa.
Summer, point of information?
Yes, Brenda, go ahead, please.
It's 7:15 Pacific Standard Time. So just so you all know.
Thank you so much. Why don't I let Teresa finish? I don't think we were trying to come to a specific conclusion on this tonight, and that we could just talk for a few minutes on the other things, the other two items that were on the agenda, and then we could adjourn if that's okay with everyone. Teresa, go ahead, please. Teresa, we can't hear you. I think you're on
sorry,
mute.
I muted myself. Okay. I'm sorry.
No
can
problem.
You hear me? Okay.
We can.
Good. I think your point is well taken about the frat, and I had not thought about it. Frankly, I've spoken with several of you about a conversation that I had with Dan Coughlin, who used to be the executive director of Pacifica and is now the executive director of Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which is the Access Channel. And they're going from 4 channels to 9 channels. I don't think that's not public knowledge, but making tremendous headway, and in the conversation with him, he gave me some very valuable information that would be applicable to Pacifica about how we can demonstrate that our communities need us and want us, whereas I think we are coming from the point of view often that our communities don't need us or want us. The things we use to demonstrate our success are the arbitrons, which do not, I think, represent us well. But to discuss this in a public meeting, I don't think is very strategic. And there is one advantage to the frat, and that is that in discussing things that are as sensitive as campaigns or plans to be strategic, to go into certain markets or to cope with our failings, and we just sit in a meeting and say, well, you know, we're just terrible at this. I don't think that makes much sense. And from that point of view, the frat, I think would be better. Certainly, the meetings where we discuss the nuts and bolts of a strategic plan, I think have to be in a more intimate setting where you can figure out all of the complicated factors that we have to deal with, our strengths and failings in governments, our strengths and failings in our structure, our strengths and failings, challenges in our staff, our strengths and failing in our mission. So I think the point about maybe giving this job to the frat might be a good one. Or certainly bears, I think, more conversation as to the point that Margie made about maybe, I don't forget the word you used, process, or we shape the process, or we shape something is the term you used. I forget.
Propose a process. That's what I said.
Okay. That was a good point, I think. I just don't, unfortunately, I don't think that in an open meeting like this, we could get into the nuts and bolts of strategic planning. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so I think you're all right, actually, okay, Heather, that we need to do this. I did participate in the frat for 2 years. Everyone was welcome to attend it who was a board member, but I think we could really try to address and tackle some of these structural things. I think Teresa's point that to really discuss in depth the ideas that need to go into a meaningful plan going forward, it's helpful to do that session. And I think, Margie, your points about the purpose of this committee, I think we should maybe give that a little more thought between now and the next meeting of where we could be helpful in the organization's structure is always a need for improvement. So in perhaps, facilitating these things. And then maybe we can just we can wrap up on this. And the other two things, and it kind of leads straight into, now, Teresa, you had said in terms of places we could coordinate better. Do you want to elucidate that thought? And as a network, you had sort of piggybacked it behind strategic planning was things that we could coordinate as a network that were positive and would be effective publicly that weren't strategic plan per se, but, you know, places, whether it's shared broadcasting or some of these national opportunities. Do you want to cover any of that right now, or do you want to just be the thing Margie had proposed was
Maybe it would be nice if Margie and I had a one-on-one conversation.
Okay. Very good.
About maybe her interpretation of the bylaws and where we could go with this. I can think of probably six or eight or ten issues right now that I don't think that we're working together as a network, and that's actually counterproductive. But I'm not sure how to help the stations maintain their autonomy. And, you know, at the same time doing that, and I'm not sure how that affects the coordinating committee. So
I don't know how it does either. I'm happy to participate in those conversations as well, because I'm dealing with those issues from the, you know what I mean, with the employees, those parts of it. So I'm sorry, who wants to be on the stack? Is that Brenda?
Serene.
Serene wants to be on the stack.
Thank you. Okay. So whether we do a separate conversation just on those issues of working together as a network, I'd like to participate in that with whomever, however we do that, because I keep having those discussions with people because we really need to do that fundamentally.
This Serene, may be another thing that needs to be discussed in FRAT.
Yeah, it's not. Actually, there's several places where it could be discussed fruitfully, probably. Serene.
Yeah, I actually want to I actually want to support the idea of conversations outside of the committee. So I would suggest that we, you know, and we can set it up by email. I would propose a working group to further discuss and to refine some points to bring back to the committee that the committee then takes to the PNB, because we have no authority beyond, you know, between meeting coordination without the PNB's instructions. And I would argue against actually burying everything into the frat in closed session with a small group of, you know, of people who know each other very well, because the wealth of ideas in Pacifica is tremendous. It's certainly not limited to five or six or seven people who feel comfortable with each other. I think that's been part of our problem, that for all our talk of openness and transparency, we have become incredibly in our thinking, and that is why some people may feel no connection with the communities they're supposed to be serving. The communities are anxious for Pacifica to really reopen itself for listener involvement and full staff involvement. Without people feeling that, you know, if I don't go everywhere, a committee guides me or a board member suggests, I'll be said that I'm not cooperating or I'm not interested. And, you know, so I really think we need to be careful about how we speak I think we also need to be careful about how we think. What we think is what comes through our mouths, sometimes unintended. But I think the more open we are, the stronger we are. The board possesses, neither the local nor national board possesses any special knowledge. We may have access to certain information, but our abilities are certainly not superior to those of the members. So I'm all for opening it up, not for limiting it, but beginning with an informal task force of this committee, you know, and we can set up when to meet or whatever the case is, and just sort of hammer some things out and bring it back.
Can I just ask for clarification?
Heather, go ahead, please.
So, Serena, you're talking about a working group or a task force to look at strategic planning for Pacifica? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what you're referring to?
I think the board needs some real education, the full board, and again, that's local and national, on what strategic planning actually is. I think there are two words that people throw around, but I'm not sure that everybody gets it. And I'm not saying everybody else. I say everybody. I'm including myself in this. But certainly in terms of the things that what committees are doing, how it really folds into the whole governance picture, that's something that needs to be streamlined and clarified both for the committee and for the boards they're supposed to be reporting to. We have a bunch of stagnant bodies, governance bodies. No one, please take that personally, that are not functioning as well as they could or as well as they should. And I think we really need to have a look at that, and that may be something that coordinating can sort of review and make recommendations about. But I was also speaking to Teresa's idea about more coordination, which is something I've always complained that we lack. It's hard sometimes to recognize that we're a network, except that we all, you know, mention Pacifica sometime during the day.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Serene. Okay, thank you, Heather. Anyone else on this right now? Because we're going to run out of time, and I'd like to at least to let Margie speak to maybe more effective meetings. And anyone else? We haven't come to any conclusions. Teresa, if you want to start having a conversation and initiate a phone call with Margie, I'm happy to join that, all right? FRAT actually probably has more people than we'd end up with on a working group and deals with different things. So, we can have a discussion as to whether or not there's an additional working group. Development is essentially a working group on some aspects of this. So, you know, perhaps a recommendation can come back from coordinating to literally coordinate all these different efforts of where they should be worked on. Okay. But,
point of information, do we know when the next FRAT meeting is?
I cannot say that I do right at this moment. Some committees need to have conveners appointed. I'm going to have to do for one of the committees. So,
Tracy, for the staff here?
Yeah, Tracy.
Just about the FRAT. We don't have... There's no meeting scheduled. Someone needs to volunteer to convene it, and then it would meet. And I don't think anybody has yet. I think they were waiting for the first meeting of the audit committee, because some of the FRAT's membership will come out of the audit committee.
So it sounds like we need to send a reminder out to everybody to please schedule the meeting that necessary. I can appoint a convener. We can ask for a volunteer to convene each committee that hasn't yet met, okay, and get on with this. I understand there's still a couple of LSBs that haven't finished putting their members in. That helps us. Anyway, okay. All right, Tracy. So for those committees that have asked me to, you know, appoint a convener, it's not that complicated. Somebody just has to schedule it and contact people and see if they can do it. So, all right. Is there any objections? I'd like to go to Margie just to speak to scheduling more effective meetings and conducting the business more effectively at the meetings. And so my first mea culpa is I know written reports from me, although we did not frequently get them from my predecessor, I do understand that will help that portion of meetings. But in terms of, like, you know, half-hour agenda approvals, some of the dogfighting that takes so long, I don't know. Margie, what are your thoughts on more effective, whether committee meetings or full B&B meetings?
I just have a couple of things, and I really was hoping, you know, we would engage in some discussion about it because I don't feel like I'm the expert on the question, but I will say.
Yeah. I can get the ball rolling.
But, okay, so I do think, I think it would make a huge difference if we had agendas a little bit further in advance. I think the, you know, one of the problems is that we get the agendas, actually, I think we have the agenda for this week's meeting, and I think that's great, and I think it helps to have it in advance so that people can figure out what they want to do with the agenda, and I think we could even have, although I know people are totally inundated with email, I totally get that, but we could maybe have some discussion on email before we get to the meeting if people want to make changes in the agendas, and you know, we could spend some time trying to convince each other why that's a good idea. And I know, and I totally understand your impetus, Summer, to let everyone speak his or her mind on every subject. But I do get frustrated with the fact that very often I feel like people are not speaking to what is on the agenda. That you know, the clearest example of that was when Tracy made the motion about, you know, a two-part process, which ended up, I think we voted unanimously for it, and almost every person who spoke on option one and option two didn't speak to whether or not they liked the process. They talked about whatever, you know, how they felt about the CFO, which is fine, except that we should have just been discussing whether or not people liked the process or not, and we could have gotten through that a lot sooner if people had stuck to that. So, you know, just those kinds of things. I think having agendas and reports in advance makes a huge difference. It certainly does for me. I felt really able to prepare for this meeting because I read all the stuff that was sent out before we got together. So that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about.
Okay, it makes perfect sense. And I do think maybe having a firm timekeeper, not just on individual speakers' time, but if we maybe all agree as a group to enforce the time limits on items, right, and just go to a vote even if we don't like what's on the floor, unless somebody extends the time. But there is a sloshiness where, like, you know, approval on something goes way over the 15 minutes that was allotted for discussion. Maybe people wouldn't actually vote to give it 10 more minutes. So perhaps I could prevail on, you know, us as the coordinating committee to also be vigilant as members and, you know, remind me and say, you know, we are at the 15 minutes on agenda approval, you know, and that way somebody's feeling 100% committed, or hopefully by then people have their motions on the floor, you know, if there are changes. So who else wants to speak to this right now?
I'd like to just jump in here for a minute about timekeeping, because one of the things we tried in the last meeting was, this is thanks to everybody's suggestion, really, that when people are speaking to various motions, that it stay to 90 seconds. And, you know, what I found when I was timing is that most people could do this within 90 seconds. I mean, we had to cut off some people, but the other thing that Margie and I were having some correspondence about this, actually, that sometimes if you cut people off at 90 seconds, then it doesn't give them quite a chance to finish their sentence, actually. So if they can be reminded just shortly before the end of that 90 seconds, then that might help. The other thing is that when people were introducing a motion or presenting something about a motion that was to be before the board, I was thinking that that could perhaps take a minute and a half for that purpose. So that seemed to be pretty much the case as well, I noticed, when we had the meeting the other day. That seems a minute and a half seemed to work well. So, I'd appreciate the opinion of the committee members on those issues as well, actually. How do people think? What do people think about that? The 90 seconds and the minute and a half is what I'm saying.
Brenda, for the stack?
Brenda, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed is, and I know that you've been good, Summer, about trying to not have people who speak on the same item twice, like go back to back. but I think it would be something to, like, kind of, I don't know, just to remind people, like, okay, this is your second time speaking. You know, we want to make sure that we move forward with the agenda and really try to, like, keep to the time, because I think folks can get complete thoughts either under 90 seconds and then maybe reserve their time for a second time that they speak. I feel sometimes when people utilize 90 seconds more than once, they can overexhaust the issue. And that's it.
That's a very good point, Brenda. What do you all think if we gave them, like, I did find it very helpful, Heather, the way you chimed in with the times. What if we gave them, like, an initial buzz at 60 seconds on their first go-round, and they have another 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the second go-round, we only allow 60 seconds. It's like your follow-up bite. You know, in theory, in Roberts, you can vote to extend anything, but if we develop, like, our regular policy or rule, right, 90 seconds for your first go-round, but you tell them when they're at 60. And then, because it's hard when you're on the phone, you know what I mean, to come in like 5 seconds early and say you're almost out of time. And if they go a second time, 60 seconds. I don't know. What do you think of that, Brenda, in terms of maybe keeping that a little more tightly controlled, too?
I think that's a great idea. It's just that in meetings that I chair for work, it tends to work really well because people realize that I'm going to cut them off. So I don't know. I think it may be beneficial.
So my question, I'm jumping in here. That's okay. But my question about that is that if we develop this policy, or it's not necessarily a policy or a recommendation, then how do we proceed with it? Is this something that we need to just send out to the board? This is what we're going to be doing. Do they have to vote on it or something? As far
we
as
could
time?
Call it a standing rule. We could vote on it tonight and say we want to recommend the board adopt this as a standing rule. Then that could become our standing rule on time, okay? Which, or we could just do it and implement it. But I think if we said it was a standing rule, then hopefully people wouldn't, like, start taking a vote because they're on their second go-round and they didn't get to speak for 2 minutes or whatever, you know. I don't know. Do we all like this idea that we give 90 seconds on your first go-round on a subject and we tell you at 60, and if you come for a second, you know, set of comments on the same topic, that we do 60 seconds? Yes, Teresa.
I found that, well, it's impossible for me to be a timekeeper. I cannot multitask that way. I cannot be thinking and listening seriously to what everyone says and be counting time. And I don't know how people do it. I would find it very challenging, especially to not only be counting 90 seconds of everyone, but whether it's their first or second time speaking, to cut them off at 60 seconds. So if you think you guys can do it, fine, but I cannot do that. And I'm probably past my 60 seconds right on this conversation.
Okay, so do we want to just try and implement it and see if it works in terms of, like, do we get people to adhere to this? We want to just try it out on the next meeting? I mean, Heather, you were timekeeper last time. We don't have to vote on it, turn it into a big thing. We could just try it, okay? And
no, I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to do it.
Why don't we just try it if everyone consensus that this is a good idea here on Thursday night's meeting, and I can tell people this is, you know, what we discussed and looks like a good idea, and see if we can't get the whole group to agree that we can run things a little bit faster and get through a few more things on the agenda this way. I think people would be relieved to get through more business, frankly. So if everyone's
Summer,
good with that, we just try it on Thursday, and I'll tell everyone that we'd like to try it. So.
Summer, I do want to ask what everyone thinks about a minute and a half for the presentation of a motion.
Well, that's 2 9 seconds, too. Probably give people 2 minutes, I would say.
2 minutes?
That would include motivating. You're talking about time to motivate. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
2 minutes?
No.
Motivating. Okay.
Serene doesn't think it makes sense.
What did Serene say? Go ahead, Serene.
Oh, no, I think people should be allowed to motivate their motion fully. That's where you actually get to provide the background information about why you're offering the motion.
Right.
And I think People, right. I think 90 seconds can be mighty short sometimes. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a lot in dead air, but it's very short when you're trying to make a point.
Good.
So we're talking about 2 minutes for motivating?
Point of information.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Are we speaking of 2 minutes for a motion, a resolution that's come out of a committee?
Mm.
And that
yes.
does not include the reading of the motion?
I think
you know,
that we're not separate from motivating because some of them are long and some are short, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I think the reading is separate from any
mm-hmm.
other additional
mm-hmm.
additional presentation.
Yeah, I
that's
agree.
What I'm thinking. Yeah.
So if we would allow someone
of information.
Go ahead, Brenda.
Okay, just because I'm trying to write this down so I could send it to you all. So
thank you.
Did we agree on having a 90-second comment? The first time around on an issue and 60 seconds for the second time around on the same issue and then 2 minutes to motivate a motion or was that to read the motion and motivate it?
No, just to motivate, Brenda, giving like an extra 30 seconds figuring you might have a little more to say to motivate something because the reading could be short on a short motion and really long on one of those long motions. So.
And then even for the committee motions, am I correct on that?
For the motivating, is that correct, Heather? 2 minutes on motivation, and that's separate. Regardless, is this regardless of whether it's a committee motion or an individual?
Yeah, I think it would be regardless.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Serene?
Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I think that the idea, I mean, I certainly understand that anyone can at times be what other people will be perceiving as excessive in their use of time when they're trying to make a point. But I think 2 minutes per person is not unreasonable. And I'm not talking here about the motion. I'm talking about people arguing a point. I think saying certainly that no one should speak twice until everyone who wishes to speak has been heard once, I think that's pretty standard at meetings. And I think, you know, that would be fine for us to do as well. But I think people should be allowed at least 2 minutes to make their point. We have a relatively new board, and we do not have one reservoir of, we certainly don't have one interpretation of history, and we also don't have one reservoir of all the motions that have passed. So there are times when someone may take a longer, you know, may certainly speak for more than 60 or 90 seconds, but what they're providing the body with is significant in terms of the context in which certain things happen, or at least their view of the context. So I think we should be careful about wanting to, about appearing to shut that off, you know, because knowledge is important. I mean, knowledge is crucial. And with regard to presenting a motion and arguing a motion, you know, the advantage of committee motions, one hopes, is that it's been fully discussed in committee, and most directors or directors have either heard or have an opportunity to hear the arguments that are presented. But at any rate, the committee motion is presented in writing and ahead of time for people to read, which is not the case sometimes when you're hearing, you know, when a motion comes up during the course of a meeting, right, because of information that we hear. So, and I've been speaking for more than 90 seconds, I think. But I'm always a little leery about shutting people off too quickly.
Can I ask Serene a question?
Thank you.
Are you suggesting that we abandon the 90-second time limit and have a general time limit of 2 minutes? Is that what you're suggesting, or...?
I think I'm suggesting that we abandon the 90-minute.
90 seconds. Give me a break.
the 90-second and 60-second
And I'm suggesting that we have a suggested time of 2 minutes and not make it a hard cutoff period. I think, you're not always aware of how long you're speaking, so perhaps there are people who will choose to wrap up when they hear that they've been going for 2 minutes, and there are other people, who may need a bit longer to actually express their thoughts. We don't all, think and speak in the same manner with the same speed and so forth.
This is Heather.
From where we're at, because we've been at 90 seconds at least as what we're telling people. Go ahead, Heather.
I just wanted to mention, Serene, that it was really interesting when I was timing the other day. I was surprised that most people stayed within the 90 seconds. And that was even with some people who I know are generally quite verbose. I was quite amazed at that. So
it's my experience as well, yeah.
Yeah. So I would prefer to stay at the 90 seconds timing.
Mm-hmm.
We said this is going to be a test. We're going to try it, right?
And that's right. It's also a test. It's also a test. We did it the other day, but what we didn't do, though, was change it to the 60 seconds for the second time around. But if we're going to do that,
we're just trying to speed it up a little. Yeah, because I think we were doing okay at the 90 seconds. And I think out of politeness, I always try to let people finish their sentences for sure. I just think maybe we let people know, maybe 60 seconds is too restrictive and we're being pushy to let them know at 60 seconds. It's just a thought, Conceivably, you can come in 10 seconds early on their 90, but I think only some people need to have 2 minutes. So why don't we just see how it goes, okay? And if we could maybe speed up the process a little, okay? I think staying a little bit tighter on the amount of time allocated per subject is also not just the individual, but seriously, on a matter, which is the other reason why you have to keep it rather short on the individuals if you want to allow more people to speak. So
I want to make one suggestion about that. When we have, I think it's too hard to chair the meeting and keep track of the time limits, but maybe Heather or someone else could, a third person, could be in charge of noticing how much time we have left on a particular topic. Because it's, one of the things we got into a lot of trouble around was the whole question of when were we going to get to a particular item, like when we were discussing, Washington. And so what happened was we'd get to the end of the time, and then we'd start discussing motions so that the next topic got pushed further and further back. I think we have to encourage people to make motions early on so that we get them on the table and we're discussing those before we get to the end of our established time limit.
Okay. Thank you. Alrighty. Well, I think these are all very good suggestions. Let's try to all be each other's keeper on Thursday, okay? And I'd love to have the shortest meeting possible on Thursday, to be perfectly honest.
Good luck.
I move that we adjourn.
I'm sorry?
I move that we adjourn.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Everyone have a wonderful evening, okay?
I hope you're feeling better soon, Summer.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Goodbye,
thank
everybody.
You all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.